We hear in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you frauds! You tithe on mint and rue and all the garden plants, while neglecting justice and the love for God. These you should have practiced without neglecting the other. My name is Father Andrew Kemperling. I'm pastor at St. Vincent de Paul Parish in Denver, and your James Conley, Father James Conley, became our Bishop Conley, and we broke him in as a baby bishop. And since I was the stewardship guy of Denver and he came from Wichita Diocese, he and I became good friends right away. Yesterday I texted him, I have his cell number, and I told him, hey, I'm preaching at all the masses at Blessed Sacrament. And he, you know, he was all excited and texted right back and said, please greet everybody for me. I miss them dearly. So I just have. Today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and it is Good Shepherd Sunday. There's your Good Shepherd. You probably go by this a dozen times, and it's so in your memory, you forget it's here. There it is. This mystery is laid out for us in today's readings. And at the time of Jesus, there was not just one flock of Israel. There were four. There were four parties that were existent. They were the Essenes, they were the Zealot party, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. Now, we know that the Essenes were out in the desert, and when John the Baptist was preaching in the desert, we hear from Scripture about the Essenes. But the reason, that's the Dead Sea Scrolls, you've heard that, right? Okay. The reason why they're there, they rejected Jerusalem worship. Well, that's not Jesus. He didn't reject Jerusalem worship. And Simon, the Zealot party member, becomes actually an apostle. And Barabbas, who was in exchange for Jesus at the crucifixion, he was a Zealot party member. He was a Zealot. Jesus wasn't that. So, folks, that leaves us two. Sadducees and Pharisees. Well, the Sadducees were very conservative. They only accepted the Pentateuch. No other writings, rejected angels and the resurrection. Well, that's not Jesus. Jesus is Pharisee. What? Yes, it's an in-house fight. It's a fight within the flock. That would never happen, right? I mean, come on, your flock has all kinds of different disagreements. Well, that's what the Pharisees were. And it was an old fight, a very old one revealed in the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Remember where he says, your ways are unfair. God's ways are unfair. And the prophet answers back, it's not God's ways that are unfair, it's your ways that are unfair. And the argument comes back. Now, to understand this argument, it's important to remember this Pharisee. And you hear in today's first reading, Paul is a Pharisee among Pharisees, folks. Pharisee among Pharisees. He's the one that develops our theology on the church. We hear today the Gentiles will hear the good news. He explains how the death and resurrection of Jesus redeems us. Paul's a Pharisee. That's why Jesus says, do everything the Pharisees tell you, but do not follow their example. Now, how would Jesus say that if he was a Sadducee? You see what I mean? He's a Pharisee. And Paul tells us about the redemption of Jesus. Today's second reading from the book of Revelation. The Lamb that was slain is now seated on the throne. And not only is the sheep, but is the shepherd. And by his dying, he has taken away the sins of the world. The effect? Well, all those rules of the law of Moses for animal sacrifice, they're all fulfilled. And all of those dietary laws, taken away. That's why you can eat shellfish and shrimp and and pork and bacon and bacon. Did I say bacon? I had some of that specialty bacon Father Yurok had in the refrigerator. It was delicious, Father. Well, because we're not Jewish. We don't, and so a lot of people think that, well, then everything got thrown out. No, it didn't. Jesus talks about love of God and neighbor. That's the law of Moses that Jesus affirms. So that part of the law of Moses, still in effect. Jesus affirms tithing. Tithing was not done away with the great dispensation. When Jesus affirms something, it's still an existent law of Moses. These you should have practiced, justice and love for God, without neglecting tithing. Wow. So now let's get to that in-house fight. Okay, what's that in-house fight all about? Talked about Ezekiel. Talked about this very passage. Tithing is an action. Justice and the love for God is an interior act. An interior attitude. It is an intention. Which one's more important? You got to do both. Which one's more important? The intention. If all you do is a scorekeeper, keeping track of the score, gee, I'll just write my tithing check and be done with it, that's not going to save you any more than it would save the Pharisees who were frauds. We have to have that inner attitude. And Father Yurok was very good about explaining that at the very foundation of this 30th anniversary of stewardship in the Diocese of Wichita. And by the way, you are a model for everybody around the country. I hope you know that. You know, I sit on the International Catholic Stewardship Council board, and you stand as a shining example to others. If you're going to keep this charism alive, you got to go back to your roots, and there are the four pillars. You know them, don't you? You've heard them over and over. Okay, hospitality, prayer, formation, and service. You capture that and you reaffirm the proper attitude, tithing will be justified in the eyes of God. Then the good shepherd looks upon us and is pleased with his flock. He then says, I will bring you, like we hear in today's gospel reading from John, I'll bring you to that land of refreshing water. Nothing will take you out of my hand. You will go to those eternal pastures that we call heaven. So what do we take with us here on this fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday? Well, just remember, whenever you hear that argument of Jesus with the Pharisees, it's an in-house fight. It's a fight within the flock, okay? About intentions and actions. The action of tithing is only justified if we restore that inner attitude of those four pillars of hospitality, prayer, of formation and service. Let us remember that with this biblical principle of tithing always before us, we too become an example for not only ourselves, but other people within our country. They too understand that it's not just the action, it's that purified intention that focuses upon that good shepherd leading us to those eternal waters, to the eternal life of heaven.